Bobby Bones post-show pre-show.
I saw a story where Jake Gyllenhaal is having to respond to reports that he has framed photos of himself in his home. Now, you make a face. Go ahead.
Well, because, I mean, if he's in them, but I assume it's just framed portraits or photos of just him?
I think that's the question. I mean, if it's just him, that's a little weird.
Yeah.
Unless
there's
though,
one right behind Amy right now.
Of Jake Gyllenhaal?
No, of her.
No, but that's a magazine article.
I'm not alone in it.
Okay.
I mean, Thomas Rhett's on the cover, and then it's just the article that has me in it. So,
but even then,
that's
not weird.
That,
it's a magazine article. That
right. It's a special thing. My friend framed them. I don't know how. I don't think I like it. Like, I'm trying to think if I was single and I got asked out on a date by a guy and I showed up at his house at some point and he had framed pictures of just him all around the house. That might be weird. But if it was something super special, art, for example, then maybe I'm okay with it.
I mean, I have been someone, and by single, I was single forever, and I've lived alone forever. I don't have any pictures of just me in them. I may have, I have an award behind me now, for example. It's a picture of my head, but it's the thing, it says Bobby Bones, National Radio Hall of Fame, and it was framed. But it's just my head. Is that weird?
No.
Okay. If you just have pictures and it's just a glamour shot of your head, that's weird. But otherwise, they probably just saw a picture of his movie or something and made a story.
Oh, gosh. My brain just went back to that awful, my 30th birthday. Do you remember what my husband did? You probably don't.
Oh, he had you drawn?
But I do. Oh, I'll never forget it. And it wasn't his idea, poor thing. He went to, his idea was actually great, was to gather all my friends at an art studio and have champagne and cake there, and then we all paint something. Well, then the girl that worked at the art place told him, he thought maybe we'd do a picture of our dog Josie or something. She said, no, you should do a picture of her. So she sketched it out. He gave her a picture of me. She sketched it out. And then a handful of my friends showed up to my birthday party and painted a picture of me. And then he planned on us putting that up in our house because it was a special memory, and I refused. And his feelings were so hurt. And I think it's in our attic. It's awful. I was so embarrassed because, I mean, it's my birthday and my friends are painting my face, and then I'm supposed to put it up above my mantle. I just, oh.
Amy's such a hater to her husband. You'll hear it again later in this show.
No. That was not him. And even he agrees he shouldn't have listened to her and we should have done the dog.
Heard that before. Hey, so a woman in Utah accidentally wrote her handyman a check for $21,000 instead of $2,100. He, quote, thanked the Lord, deposited the check, refused to return the money, and stopped showing up for the job.
No.
Thank the Lord.
Yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
My prayer's been answered. Mm-hmm.
Then he was arrested. Mm. So, and then I saw that so I ride the Peloton. I just hit ride 150 the other day. And I saw that they were doing no more live classes. And I thought, well, is it Corona? But they've been doing it during Corona anyway. But apparently, Peloton has suspended live online classes for the rest of April because someone in the New York City studios tested positive for coronavirus. Mm. Isn't that crazy?
Oh, no. Yeah.
Peloton Interactive will halt the live video class. I mean, to me, it's all the same. I don't take the live classes. I just get on and find a kind of music I like and then grind it out. I enjoy it, having the bike, but I don't need to be live. They can say the same stuff
neither.
To me. I just get on and grit my teeth for half an hour and I'm proud of myself afterward, but I just get on there and let me have it. Punish me. If I've been a bad boy eating bad, I punish me. You've been a bad boy. Go hard.
They added dance. Did you see that? I took a dance class the other day. It was fun.
I have an app, so I can do it on my phone, I guess, but I don't get on the bike and do it. But I did see where someone had it there in New York. So they shut the whole thing down for a month. Saw that. Check out the Bobbycast. We have one episode we cannot figure out in the Bobbycast why it is doing so well. It is.
What is it?
It's Movie Mike's biggest three movies. Mm-hmm. We talked to Jana Kramer.
Yeah.
Amy, there's really nothing that you would think would be something like that would move the needle so much, but it is. It may be beating out our Luke Combs episode.
Close.
Yeah. So we don't.
Well, we need to know the magic sauce.
I don't.
Let's
know.
All do it.
You know, Mike, do you have any idea?
Mike D.
I don't know.
Like it gets
well,
more.
Let's test it out.
Go ahead.
Like, how can Mike D come on my podcast and talk about three favorite movies? We'll see what happens.
About what? Woman parts?
Or what? What? Woman parts?
Yeah, you're like a
I didn't woman. Say woman parts.
No, I know, but what would he talk about? Like, mine's his three favorite music movies. What would yours be? Three favorite movies about menopause?
I don't know, that make you that make you smile and laugh.
Oh, boy.
Or have emotion, feelings.
Oh, cry. There
it
you
could
go.
Be.
Best three crying
there,
movies.
Okay. Best three crying movies. See? Let's do that. Test it out. See what happens. Maybe Mike D's the special sauce.
Go on. He'll go on.
I'll do it.
He'll go on and promote that podcast. Okay. Movie Mike's movie podcast. But yeah, we can't figure
all right,
it out.
Let's do it.
But it's a Bobbycast episode that's up recently. Maybe if you're listening right now, you go listen to it and tell us if there's anything special about it. And why
figure
people,
it out.
Yeah. It's bigger than some of our Bobby Bone Show episodes. And there's this podcast on the show dwarfs everything, except for this one episode of the Bobbycast. But do you know what number it is?
Let me see.
But it's the one that says Movie Mics. But you can check that out and see why you think it's doing well, because we don't know. Alternative ideas: if you can't find a mask, wear a bandana, a scarf, or fold over a paper towel and two rubber bands. That's a real thing. Mm-hmm. The end. What, Mike?
235.
Episode 235 of the Bobbycast. See if you can figure it out. And you can watch my game show, which I've started. I'll be doing another one Thursday night to air on Friday, which is Easy Trivia. Amy, have you watched the full episode yet?
Yeah, I watched the I don't want to give it away in case people haven't watched it, but I watched the one you just did with Andy Roddick and Jake Owen and Caitlin.
Yeah.
Watched all the way to the end. Yeah. And I smiled. It made me happy. I smiled a lot of it. Like, I think it's fun. It was cool.
Yeah.
Like I was like, this is fun. There's like entertaining little things that would happen.
That's
sound effects.
Yeah, all that. Mm-hmm. I bought little things. I slap them and they make noise. It's very lo-fi entertainment.
I like the no button.
I thought
funny.
That you were like in the bathroom flushing the toilet.
No, it's very lo-fi. We just get little buttons and I bought them off Amazon. You can hit a button and it makes noises.
Yeah, Stevenson has those. A little noisemaker with about 10 different buttons, and it can be a burp, a fart, a flush.
That's
one
I need.
One of those.
Yeah. Fart. You guys are welcome to play sometime if you want to play. I think we're pretty full for Thursday night for Friday's airing, but we may have a spot or two if you want to play.
Okay.
All right. We're going to get to today's show. That's it. Enjoy. We'll see you tomorrow, but here is today's Bobby Bone Show.
Bones.
Here we go.
Come on, Bobby.
Bobby Bones. Transmitting.
Let's go. What's happening, everybody? Welcome to Wednesday's show. Scheduled on today's show, our friend Dustin Lynch got a new music video out. Also, Dr. Oz. He's got a, I don't know, we just like talking with them. But they'll both be on today. We'll get an update on Mike D because, you know, we said, hey, dude, drive down to Texas. I know it's 12 hours. Pick your girl up. Bring her back. She can quarantine with you. It got a little nutty yesterday because some people thought that I made it awkward because I was like, why is she not staying with you? But there is an update. You reached out to her, right, Mike?
I did.
Well, Amy, how do you think it's going to go?
I hope it goes the way we the non-uncomfortable way.
But how do you think it's going to go?
I hope that she comes and that nothing was made awkward by bringing it up again.
Because what was awkward was, it's like, hey, why aren't you here? Like, you'd rather be alone mm-hmm. than be with me? So that update's coming up too. All right, let's go over now and do what's the haps and see what's happening with everybody in their lives. Here we go. Hey.
Hey, what's the haps?
Amy, I'm going to let you go first.
Okay, so I ordered a bag of jelly beans to keep at the house because I saw that there is a jelly bean test for coronavirus. So what you do is you take a jelly bean and you hold your nose tightly with one hand, you put the jelly bean in your mouth with the other hand, and you chew it. If you can taste it, then then you're good. But you also need to know if you have your smell too. So then you release your nose. And then if you can get the full flavor through your nose, then boom, you're corona free.
Why are people even waiting in line to get a test at this point? Why don't they just go to
I have no idea. Because you lose your sense of taste and smell. I guess the problem is all symptoms look different for each person. But taste and smell is definitely something that's up there. So I thought, eh.
Do you have jelly beans at your house?
I had to order some.
Oh, you really did order some.
Oh, I really did. Yeah, because if anything, it could be a fun game to pass the time with my kids. I haven't done this with them in a while. But when they first got back from Haiti, when they first arrived here from Haiti, I guess we had jelly beans. And something they loved to do that didn't require a lot of communication because the language barrier was I would put different, like they'd close their eyes and I'd put different flavors in their mouth and they would guess the flavor. And so I thought, well, we could kill time with that.
You know, speaking of Corona, which we were talking about earlier with jelly beans, here's a list of everyday items you can touch that you need to wash your hands immediately after you touch them. So money is one of them because we touch it all the time and there's so much germs on money. Handrails, doorknobs or handles. Pets makes the list. And I wash my hands after I play with my dog, but I don't run right to the sink like I do when I touch other things with my dog. Pencils and pens that aren't your own, and your shoes. And let me, before we end Amy's, let me say this about your shoes. It's not so much the tops of your shoes, but think about everything that the bottom of your shoe touches. And then you put your shoes on the bed, or you put your shoes on the carpet, then you're on the carpet. So just think about that. Yeah.
Should we be, are you a no, you allow shoes in your house, right?
Yeah, because I don't have a lot of carpet in my house.
Yeah, I do too, but still, when you bring that up, it makes me think. I've always wanted to be a no-shoe household, but I've never had the guts to enforce it because it just seems weird. But we should do that now. I mean, now's the time.
Yeah, I guess I don't care because it's I have wood when you walk in. In the living room, there's carpet, but, you know, nobody sits in the living room. Nobody comes to my house unless they're coming to work and they come up to my studio to do a podcast, you know?
Okay.
So, oh, the music's over. I guess we got to switch. Hey,
what's the hat?
So I had somebody reach out from Disney ABC and say, hey, we're doing this special with Disney songs, and we want you to play and sing a Disney song on the special. And I was like, well, here's the thing. I'm not a singer. I can do comedy, and I can sing funny songs, and Eddie and I sing together as the Raging Idiots, and I'm okay. Eddie's the real good singer. I'm just okay.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. But should I sing with my guitar with Caitlin? Because one of the options was this song right here. We could do this one.
You've got a friend in me. You've got a friend in me.
And I can get my guitar. And there's a little clip of us doing it on Instagram yesterday as we were practicing. But am I embarrassing myself if we get on national TV and sing You've Got a Friend in Me?
I don't think so. Was that convincing? Wait, can you ask it differently? Because here's, if you ask, hey, should we do this? Yeah. My answer is yes. I don't think you're going to be embarrassing yourself, but other people might be wondering, who is this guy and why is he singing? But as long as they understand, it's fine.
Well, I don't care about other people that I have no interest in.
Okay. Well, then we don't care about them. So, yes, you should do it.
Because Kaylin can't sing either. I can sing a little better than she can, but she can't. But she doesn't care. She's not trying to be a singer. So, do you think I should do it?
Yes.
Okay. Eddie?
I think it'll be a little embarrassing, but that's great, though. But you have to pick a duet, something like.
No, that's the song that we're doing if we do it. No, there's no picking.
Oh, that's the song?
That's the one. Yeah.
Well, then, yeah, you should do it 100%. Yes.
What do you mean it would be embarrassing?
I mean, it is embarrassing because you're not a great singer and everybody's going to expect you to be really good, but that's part of the shtick. It's going to be funny.
Well, it's not that funny. It's You Got a Friend in Me. There's no comedy there. Okay, that's what's up with me. Hey!
Hey, what's the hat?
Lunchbox.
Oh, tonight we have to say goodbye to a family that I've grown up with over the last 11 years. They've been on your television screen. Modern Family is signing off tonight as the series finale after 11 years. We've watched them go from little kids to them having kids. It's just crazy. It's one of my favorite shows. Laugh out loud, so good, and it's leaving me.
I thought somebody was dying when he started that thing.
It is kind of like, I mean, someone might die in the show. You never know.
Gotta say goodbye to a family member.
Oh, yeah? Modern Family, 7/6 Central on our ABC. Right.
Yeah, the Dunphys, they're saying bye-bye. It's just,
Well, I'm sorry for your loss. Sorry for your loss.
Yeah, man.
All right, over to Eddie. Hey!
Hey, what's the hat?
You know, once in a while, you start channel surfing, and you run into a movie that you didn't even know existed. This was one that I saw called The Upside. You guys heard of this?
Is it a picture of Kevin Hart pushing a wheelchair with Bryan Cranston in it?
Yes, that's what it is. Yes, so Bryan Cranston is a rich quadriplegic, and he hires an assistant to help him out with daily stuff, and Kevin Hart's the guy.
It's true, and right?
Is it a true story?
Mike, let's go over to Movie Mike. Isn't that based on a true story?
Based on a true story, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Mind blown, because, again, I just started watching it, and I'm like, this movie's actually really good, and... Yes, dude. The movie's great, and now that I know it's a true story, amazing.
It's got an 82% positive audience score, but the critics only gave it a 41. What do the critics know?
They know nothing.
Yeah, but you liked it, though, huh?
I loved it, and it's great. Like, I don't remember that ever coming out, and we talk about movies all the time in the show, and it's cool to run into something random like that.
All right, there you go. You can watch Modern Family, and then you can watch The Upside, and then, Amy, what'd you recommend? Eat jelly beans. And then listen to Disney songs. There we go. We have your whole night planned for you after the show's over. All right, there you go. That's What's the Haps here on the Bobby Bones Show. Nice. So they say working from home is probably going to be the new normal for a lot more Americans over the next few years. You know, with this and with all of us, and we're all working from home basically, is that it's not going to go back to normal as soon as they say, hey, we've hit that, you know, the peak. They say the curve's going to flatten for a bit. And then even as it goes down slowly, they're not going to go, all right, you're all free to go. It's not like a cage at a zoo, and they open them up and everybody gets to run out. So they're saying, hey, a lot of you guys that are working at home are probably going to keep working at home for a while. The number of people working from home has skyrocketed because of the coronavirus. Employers and companies have realized that jobs can be completed just as easily at home, and they're saving money. I think with radio, they're going to keep half of us home all the time at this point because they're going to realize they don't need to build big studios anymore. Like, we're all doing our radio shows. They're all still good, and we're able to do it at home. So why would they invest money in a big old fancy studio? But the recent survey said that working from home benefits the employee and the employer. Workers don't have to deal with the long commutes, which I'm not looking forward to having to drive back. And not that my commute is long. I just don't like waking up super butt early, because here it's only medium butt early.
Not just butt early, it's super butt.
Yeah, super butt early stinks. But that's because I got to get up, I got to put on my clothes, I got to get in my car, I got to drive, you know, all that. Don't need all that. What do you think about that, Amy? If I said you can pick work in the studio or work at home for the next 5 years, what would you do?
Wow, 5 years?
Yeah.
But occasionally could we go in and see each other in person?
Okay.
Oh, okay. I would pick at home, but only with that, only that once a week or so, or
oh, wow.
Something. We have a gathering all together. Come on, that would be hard.
I would never leave my house. If I had everything here, I would just never, you would never see me in human form.
Oh, cool.
Except to go work at other jobs, I would never leave the house.
Oh, okay.
I have a little game for you. Because I've been seeing people on Facebook post these lists and go, here's 10 people. I've met 9 of them. Which one haven't I met? And so about the third person I saw post this, and I would see all their comments. I would go, okay, well, let's do this on the show. Raymundo, if you can give me some game music, please. Amy, you're up first. I'm going to give you 3 people. Tell me the one person I haven't met. Okay?
Okay.
Jewel, Justin Timberlake, or Adam Sandler. Now, that's 3 folks. Talk it out. Which one of them have I not met? Jewel, Justin Timberlake, or Adam Sandler?
Okay, I feel like you've met Jewel because maybe you had not the best experience with her at some point. Hmm. Not to say she's not a lovely person, but there's a story there, I think. Also, I feel like I know that I've been with you in Vegas in a back room when Justin Timberlake has walked in. Now, I can't remember if we met him. You maybe did. I certainly didn't. But we were basically told, put your phones away. Nobody talk to him. Don't make eye contact. So, but I can't remember if you met him. The person I'm thinking that you haven't met is Adam Sandler. So I guess that's going to have to be my guess.
Eddie, you want to take a shot at this?
Yes. I think I know the answer for sure.
Go ahead.
Amy's right. You did meet Justin Timberlake, and I feel like you met Jewel maybe when she was doing something with Zach Brown, possibly. I'm going to go Adam Sandler.
I didn't meet Jewel with Zach Brown. I don't know what that is.
Okay. Then I don't know where that
came
from.
But you did meet her.
I did have a rotten experience with Jewel.
Yeah, I knew it.
A really rotten experience where I was like, you know what?
Like,
I'm good on Jewel. Like, my cup is full of Jewel. And so
what happened?
That's a long time ago. You know, that's old me. That's the old me. So I did meet Jewel. Now the question is it JT or Adam Sandler? With Justin Timberlake, Amy, we were in a room once and he came in. Now, does it count if I'm just in the room with him?
But I think you got a pick with him.
Yeah.
I didn't, but I think you like were like, hey, Justin, can I get a pick? And I was so jealous. Now that I really think back on it, I think that, I mean, there wasn't that many people in the room, but you, I think with Ryan Seacrest was talking to him, and you slid in for a pick.
You just invented some story that never happened, like completely. I interviewed Justin Timberlake backstage. You were there, and it was me and Justin Timberlake and Elvis Duran. So there was no Ryan, there was no sliding in, but I did meet Justin Timberlake. The person I haven't met is Adam Sandler. Amy, congratulations.
Yeah.
Good.
Whoop. That's my prize.
Well, you get to keep being my friend. All right, here we go. Let's try another one. Hey, Raymundo, I'm going to bring you into this one, okay?
All right.
Raymundo does our audio, our board. He kind of looks like Mark Ruffalo, kind of acts like Joey from Friends. He's the crazy one here on the show. Okay, Raymundo, I'll give you three people. Which one haven't I met, okay?
Yeah, this will be easy. I gotcha.
Travis Tritt, Dwight Yoakam, or Terry Clark? Which one haven't I met? Travis Tritt, all 90s country superstars. Travis Tritt, Dwight Yoakam, or Terry Clark?
For sure you met Terry Clark. I think you guys have done a Bobby cast, so that's an easy one.
Didn't do that. Made that up.
Was it over the phone then, maybe?
She's never been on the show. Nope. I like how you guys just invent these stories. Raymond is like, I'm for sure you met Terry Clark. Like, remember she was over at your house on Tuesday? I'm like, no, I don't remember that.
Travis Tritt, I want to say he's been in here before, so I've met him. You've for sure met him. The final one, Dwight Yoakam. I have never met the guy. I've met everybody that's come into this studio, so I'm saying it's Dwight Yoakam. You've never met him before.
Amy?
I don't think you've met Travis Tritt.
Really?
Really.
Okay. Lunchbox, you gonna take a stab at this one?
The others.
Oh, I've heard you talk about Terry Clark meeting her backstage at an award show.
Never happened.
So I know that
did not
happen.
Yeah, that did not happen.
And you said how lovely she is. And so Dwight Yoakam, you talked to him at like the Opry and you said,
Never happened.
We should have you in on the show because I'm a huge fan. And you talked to Eddie about how cool it'd be to have Dwight Yoakam in here. Travis Tritt, you've said on the air, man, we should have Travis Tritt in here, but he has never come in. And I don't know if he lives in town or if he just lives out of state. So you've never met Travis Tritt.
Okay. Well, all those stories were made up. So those were all inaccurate. I only met Terry Clark for the first time last week at the Grand Ole Opry.
See?
Yes.
Yeah! Yeah! Told you!
I met Dwight Yoakam in California at Dirk Bentley's show.
Woo!
And so I had a chance to meet Dwight. I've never met Travis Tritt. Big fan. We got into a Twitter fight once, but that's the only time I've ever met Travis Tritt. And it was virtually. So I haven't met Travis Tritt. That is correct. All right, Eddie. No, You'll get the next one. Hey, let's... who do I want to give this one to? Amy, I'll give this one to you again.
Okay.
Eddie and I have opened for two of three of these artists.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Which one have we not opened up for? Eddie and I are in the band The Raging Idiots. Which one have we not opened up for? Okay. Tim McGraw, Reba, or Tracy Lawrence?
I know that you've opened... Well, I don't know if it's... I know that you played the same Strawberry Festival as Reba.
No, that doesn't count
so
as opening.
I don't know.
Because that was two whole different tickets.
I feel like I've seen a picture of you and Tracy Lawrence together backstage at a festival.
Bones, outside. Tell it. Never happened.
You haven't? Go ahead.
Are you sure?
Go ahead.
Maybe that was somebody else. Hmm. Oh, my gosh. Oh, I know that y'all opened for Tim McGraw somewhere because somebody got a fight.
Yeah, okay.
Remember?
Are you asking me if I remember? Okay. I remember the true stories. Go ahead.
Okay, so that just came to me. At first, I was going to say Tim McGraw, but no, because now I remember y'all were out west somewhere, I think. Okay. Or maybe middle America.
So who who's Eddie and I? Who have we not opened up for? Tracy Lawrence, Tim McGraw, or Reba?
I mean, you've... Well, then I guess you played a festival with Reba, but you the same one, but you haven't opened for her.
So you're saying we opened for Tracy Lawrence once?
Yep.
In the 90s or what, when we were like 10?
I don't know.
Your answer is...
Reba.
Okay. Well, true, we did open up for Tim McGraw once at a festival when two people got into a fight in the crowd because one yelled we sucked and the other one was sticking up for us.
Yes.
That was way early. Yep. That's way early in our day. This is before we got good. With Tracy Lawrence, it was a very, very early show for us too in Tampa. Right, Eddie? No,
that's right.
Tallahassee.
Oh, that's right. Tallahassee, yeah.
In Tallahassee, we opened for Tracy Lawrence and we've never opened for Reba. There you go. Amy, nice job.
Thank
on that.
You.
There you go. Do you guys like that game?
That's a fun game.
Yeah, see, I saw it on Facebook. Yeah. Thought I'd bring it in. And what?
I don't know. Just thinking of those other things that go around. Did you get... I haven't done any of those. And this was more early on, but they would do the push-up challenge and tag you. And I got tagged so many times, I never did a single
push-up. I never
push-up.
Did a single push-up either. I'm like, I'll do my own push-ups. I'm trying to do a push-up challenge because of you?
Yeah. Bones.
Bobby Bones Show.
Bonehead.
Story of the day.
This story comes to us from Australia. A 35-year-old man was ordered by police and health officials to self-quarantine for 14 days after traveling. And he is like, man, it's Friday night. I haven't seen my girlfriend in 4 days. So he snuck out and traveled like two cities over to visit her. They came to his house Saturday morning. He wasn't there. $50,000 fine.
They checked in on him.
Wow.
Yeah, they because they put him in a Travelodge hotel so they could keep an eye on him, and he snuck out overnight.
How'd he get out? Like, if they're going to put somebody in a hotel, should they have someone watching guard? Like, if it's worth that much to you? Anybody?
Yeah, and he said he took a public bus, so he put other people in danger at the same time.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm Lunchbox. That's your Bonehead Story of the Day.
It's time for the good news.
With Bobby.
Tell me something good.
Staff at a Naples, Florida restaurant was treated to a huge tip just before being laid off from their jobs. Ross Edlund, owner of Skillet Restaurant, says they're trying to figure out who left a $10,000 tip for employees the day before the state ordered restaurants to close their dining rooms. Edlund says the man who handed the manager a wad of cash is a regular customer. He thinks his name's Bill or Bob, but he's not sure, but he knows he's a regular customer. The generous gratuity was split between 20 staff members working that shift. They all got $500. They may not know exactly who left the money by name, but they'll know him when he comes back after they open the store again. Isn't that crazy?
Love it.
That's a good one. That's what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
This video will make you laugh. A real estate agent in Fairbanks, Alaska was giving a virtual tour of a home. When he enters the back deck, he points to the textured paint that is slip resistant. 2 seconds later, this happens.
Just right around the corner is a set of stairs, and you can see this paint. It's kind of a like textured paint that to be a little bit more slip resistant on the stairs. So let's go ahead and head down. Because the paint doesn't work.
And down he goes. That's where the video ends. He wasn't seriously injured, but it made for a funny video. What's the dumbest way you've ever injured yourself? That's the question. And I think for mine, I don't know that it was it wasn't like a little thing, because I have friends who have like stepped off a curb and torn their ACL. They're like randomly torn. For me, I think I just did something dumb. It was the first episode of Dancing with the Stars when I went on, and I was so happy because I never completed that dance. I was doing a jive dance to Travis Tritt, and I was so excited I finished it, because the only time that I ever did it all the way through was on TV. And I was so excited, I started jumping up and down and pumping my fists, and I wiped out on the show. My feet went above my head. I slammed into my shoulder, and my shoulder still hurts today, and it's a year and a half later. And I remember it vividly. I was like, oh my. I remember the last chord of T-R-O-U-B-L-E hits, and I smell T-R-O-U-B-L-E. Boom. I was like, we did it. I started jumping, wiped out, because those dance shoes are slick, and then tore the top part of my shoulder, and all season long I had to get cortisone shots just to manage the pain. And it's about 30% better at this point. So that's mine. Amy, you?
Well, I was trying to think back. I mean, I've fallen a bunch of different times, but I'd say one of the most embarrassing moments from my life is when I was a senior in high school and I was also a cheerleader, and I shut the microwave on my face. I mean, not totally, but I was too close to the microwave at my dad's house to where the door scraped my face really bad, and I shut it, and it left this gash on my face, and
why
I had to go cheer
so
at the football game.
You miss your food that much?
I was like looking at
something. Don't go.
No, I was looking at something, and then the door shut. I don't know how. I mean, it was a freak accident, but I did have a huge gash on my face, and I had to go cheer at the football game that night, and some people knew that it was, you know, because I shut the microwave in my face, and that was embarrassing.
Eddie?
But I've never broken any bones.
Yeah, when my wife and I were dating, I went to meet her family, like her aunts, uncles, cousins, all them, and they were having a barbecue. And one of her cousins had made a homemade bike ramp, like in the street, and it went down a hill. And they were like, come on, Eddie, try it. And I'm like, no.
How old were you?
We were dating, so I was probably 23, 22.
Okay.
And so I was like, all right, I want to show off in front of the family, and picture me going up in the ramp with a bike, the front of the bike going down and flipping, but me just face first, like folded backwards. And the whole family goes, ooh.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And they still, I mean, even today, like when we get the family together, they talk about that. Remember when Eddie tried to do a flip on the bike?
And you were just dating her.
Yes, we were just dating.
I sprained
my neck.
She was so humiliated.
It was brutal. It
I
was
mean,
terrible.
Aside from you being embarrassed, I bet she was so embarrassed of you because she brings you home and you, first of all, why are you trying to jump a bike ramp? You're 22, 23 years old. And then you can't even do it. Oh, no.
And they just left me there, too. They just laughed at me. No one helped me up. I'm like, I'm fine.
Oh, no. That's hilarious. Lunchbox?
When I was 12, we were playing basketball. And my buddy had a hoop in the ground, and I got frustrated, and I grabbed the pole. And I was going to act like I was going to headbutt it. Well, my perception was wrong, and I headbutted it the whole way and knocked myself out. Boom.
Oh, my gosh.
Were you knocked out?
Out. I woke up on the ground.
I've never been knocked out. Anybody else ever been knocked out?
No, never.
Mm-mm.
I don't even know what that feels like. Do you remember it?
I remember waking up, and they were standing over me, and I was like, what happened? They're like, dude, why'd you hit your head on the pole? And I was like, I was just trying to be funny. I wasn't really trying to hit it. I just, boom, and I had a big old knot on my forehead for like a week.
Anyone ever been punched so hard they were knocked out? I guess not, huh? Eddie, ever been punched in the face?
Never. I've never gotten into a fight.
Mm.
Never.
Raymundo, have you ever gotten into a fight? You'd be the guy on the show that has gotten into a fight. You ever gotten into a fight?
Shockingly, I've not been in a fight before.
We are the wimpiest show ever. Wow. We just punched our ticket into Puttville, guys.
We run away from fights.
What is wrong with the, like, none of us have actually been in a real life fist fight. Speaking of fights, Eddie, you and your wife got into your first quarantine fight.
Yeah, good transition there.
What?
We did, and you know, I think people expect these things because we're all in close quarters now and high stress situation. There's a lot of kids in the house. And yeah, we had our first fight, and it was mainly my fault because me as a guy, I want to fix things easily. And so with the boys yelling and being disrespectful to mom or whatever, I raise my voice and I yell at them and like, boy, stop it. And I made one of the kids cry.
Oh.
And yeah, my older kid. I made him cry. And my wife was like, I think you're just a little too harsh, you know, like with your words. you're being insensitive. And she was even like saying that she felt a little insensitive, that I was being insensitive towards her too. And I did not understand. And yes, it was a fight for about a whole day, but we're finally resolved, thank goodness, and it's over.
The weird thing about Eddie is he's oddly aggressive. He doesn't hit people, but he does this thing where he like walks outside. Didn't you go like break a
broomstick?
Broom.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. 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 When I get really frustrated at certain things, I go away from the situation. I walk outside and I see something like, "Ooh, that could be breakable easy," and I break it.
And it makes you feel better to break stuff?
Yes.
I get no satisfaction out of breaking things.
Have you tried it?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure, but I don't even have the instinct to grab something and slam it or grab, because I know you have to clean it up, or I know that your hand. That's why I don't want to punch anybody. I don't want to hurt my hand.
Like when I was a kid, there was a tree, and I would take the baseball bat and hit the tree really hard. And that tree, I remember, had like a knot in it from where I hit it so hard all the time.
The tree. You put a knot in a tree. Okay. Yeah, did you also get recruited to play college football?
Possibly.
Yeah. Okay. What are we going to say, Amy?
I was just going to say that's changed for me. So it might change for you hormonally. I used to never want to throw anything or punch anything, but now that's all I want to do. I slam stuff. I was so wanted to slam this casserole dish the other day, but I didn't. But I know it would have felt good.
It would have felt so good that it's
worth. No, but I didn't. I've never thrown a dish. I need to clarify. I didn't. I've slammed milk and stuff, but not. And this is all recent with my perimenopausal situation. Something's going on with me, and the rage I feel. I can't explain it. It's crazy. I feel like something's taking over my body, and I was holding the casserole dish. I mean, Eddie, tell me if you feel me on this. And I just wanted to like. Oh, everything in me wanted, but I didn't. I just kind of fake did it, and then I put it in the dishwasher.
Yeah, Bones, one time I was eating a hamburger, and my wife got really mad at me on something. I got so frustrated, I crushed the hamburger. It was amazing. She still brings it up today.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question, though. Amy, let's go to your dish, okay?
Okay.
Would the slamming of the dish have felt better than how stupid and lame you would have felt by cleaning it up and having to make another casserole?
Oh yeah. Oh no. I was putting it in the dishwasher. There wasn't food in it, but
what's your net gain on that? Are you gaining or losing overall?
I don't know. Losing. I know. I still have shame from when I was cleaning milk off the light fixtures and the cabinets halfway across the room from the time that Stevenson made me so mad. I slammed the almond milk and the top flew off and milk flew everywhere. Like it was, I mean, because I was reacting with such rage. I mean, and his eyeballs got so big, but now we laugh about it. And it's like, remember that time mom made milk go everywhere? But I don't know, Bobby. I don't know. There might be great satisfaction, but that's why I was telling you, maybe if I get Stevenson involved in boxing and whatever, I think it might be good for me to take a few punches at the bag every now and then. Because it's been the last year or more that I just have this rage.
You haven't taken it out on me yet, thankfully.
No. I don't typically take it out on anybody that's not in my house.
I do want to go over to the phone line because Ray's mom is on the phone right now.
Oh.
Oh, yay.
Yeah, let's bring her on. Hello, good morning.
Hi, Bobby.
Hey, how are you today?
I'm good. So a little nervous.
Oh, don't be nervous. It's just us here. So this is Ray's mom, Vicky. Vicky, how's your day going?
Going well. I've been sewing.
You know, and that's why I wanted to talk to you. We were talking about you on the show a couple days ago and that you are volunteering your time and sewing masks for people that are on the front lines and doing medicine, healthcare workers. How did that get started with you?
It got started because a friend asked me if there was any way I could make a mask for her daughter who needed one. And I said, well, sure, I've got a sewing machine and I know how to sew. So I made a half a dozen, and then she said, oh, that's great. Could you make some more? Because her coworkers need them. And then all of a sudden, they started up a group in Marquette County. We're here in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. And the group is about 2,000 people strong. And our goal is to make 10,000 masks, and we're on our way to 6,000 right now.
Wow. Is there anything that we can do to help?
Do you know how to make elastic?
I don't. But do you have enough fabric? Do you have enough of what you need for?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
We've got lots and lots of fabric, had lots of donations, which has been wonderful. Our big holdup. At first, it was the little metal nose pieces, and then people got very creative. We started out using pipe cleaners and things like that, twist ties, but then somebody started cutting sheets of real thin aluminum and making them from that. We also got donations from, for face shields. People with 3D printers, 3D printers, made face shields, and we're doing masks and all kinds of things. But the big thing that we've had trouble with is the quarter-inch elastic. We have bought out everybody on Etsy, Amazon, everywhere, and now everything is just kind of back ordered, you know. So we've been creative, though. We've tried using making our own ties, you know, binding ties, and running them through the masks, and they work good too. So what did they say? Well, I don't know what they say. I'm sorry.
Sometimes I don't know what they say either. I'll be honest with you.
Well, I was going to say is the mother of invention, but I forget what it is. But, you know, you've just got to be creative. That's the thing. You've got to think outside the box sometimes. So that's what we've been doing. And then Ray called and said, Mom, can you make us some masks? And I said, sure. So I got busy and did those. But, yeah, the group has just been done a phenomenal job. And some of the masks have pockets so that they can, the healthcare professionals can put a filter inside. Some of them that are just for, like the guy at the grocery store, are just a plain mask so that he isn't, spewing out any germs or anything on people. So we've got a little variety of things that we're making here.
Well, Ray is very proud of you. We're very thankful that you're doing that. Amy, what were you going to say to her?
Well, I just Googled this really quick. So I don't know for sure if this is what you were thinking of, but is it necessity is the mother of invention?
Yes, that's it.
There you go. Hey, Vicky, while we have you here, can I ask you a couple of questions about your son?
Sure you can.
Hey, Ray, how do you feel right now with your mom on the air?
Oh, I think she's doing an awesome job. She's not a radio professional like me, but, I mean, she's really killing it. I mean, for the most part.
Oh, he's so silly. I told him I just wanted to talk to him. I feel nervous with you guys.
Oh, don't feel nervous. We're all just hanging out anyway.
Good.
Ray, his name on the show is now Raymundo. Did you name him Raymundo?
Yes, I No. No.
What do you think about that?
But Ray has had a number of nicknames throughout his life, and I think it's because he has always given other people nicknames. You know, he calls my little grandson Boomer, and he's got nicknames for everybody. And in fact, even when he sends me like a Mother's Day card, he always sends it to Dr. Slater, which I am not a doctor. You know, I'm sure the mailman thinks he's insane, just all this crazy stuff that he does. But no, I have no idea where Raymundo came from, but he used to tell people he was from the Dominican, too. Oh. I don't know.
What is happening here?
He's a very imaginative guy.
Why? I don't know.
So, what do you think of his fiance?
Oh, my goodness. She, I told her I was going to start calling her my daughter in love, because whether he married her or not, she was going to be one of my daughters. So, so I was glad that he proposed finally. She is my delight. I love her.
And you're going to come down for the wedding, right?
Yes.
Just making sure. I'd love to meet you. That's all I'm saying. Do you ever get to hear the show at all?
I did, because somehow, I don't know what it was, but like on my phone, you guys sent me a thing and said, Bobby Bones Live. So I clicked on it and I heard you guys.
And what do you think of the show?
But it only happens once in a while. I'm not tech savvy, so I have no idea how to make it happen again. but it's done it maybe two or three times, and it's been nice. It's not something we don't have a television. I don't listen to that kind of radio. People just talking.
It's like, it's terrible.
I'm sorry.
No, you're great. Well, we want to say that
probably not the answer.
No, we just look for the honest answer. Vicky, it's great to talk to you. It's great to meet you. We're very proud of your son. He's, he's been even with me now for over 10 years. And so he's my guy, and he takes care of me. And it's really nice to meet the person who took care of him.
Well, we love him to death, and we're very, very happy that he's got a good job that he loves, something that he loves doing. I mean, it makes going to work not awful if it's something you enjoy, and that's kind of how we've always felt. We wanted our kids to have work that they felt they were really contributing to and enjoying and everything, so...
Well, keep doing the good stuff.
Thank you.
And hopefully we get to talk to you soon. If not before the wedding, we'll talk to you at the wedding, okay?
Hey, and hopefully we don't have to wear masks for the wedding, right?
But if we do, you'll make us all bridal masks.
I will.
Yeah.
They'll be beautiful.
All right, Vicky, have a good day.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
See ya.
Ray, how'd that make you feel to have your mom on the show?
That was pretty awesome. It is her radio debut, and she was asking, she goes, okay, so this is just heard in Nashville? And I go, no, Mom, it's a national radio show. It's heard in cities all over America.
Well, I thought she did fantastic. You should hook her up, good. Though, with somehow to listen to the show if she wants to hear it. I know she doesn't normally listen to talk, but, she said she's only heard it like three times. Has she ever heard you on the radio?
Yeah, she has. Her friends will send her bits. She's heard stuff,
okay. All right.
Yeah.
I thought we'd play this game called Guess the Sound. Now, this is the viral quarantined video edition. So this video has 12.5 million views on TikTok. Let me play you the sound first. Here you go. So the sound that you're hearing there is the 20th Century Fox theme being played. Here's the original for reference. Now, they're using something from around the house in quarantine to play that. I want you guys to guess what it is. Let's play the quarantined version one more time. Listen closely. Okay, is that a poker rearranging burning coals in a pit, a paintbrush rubbing a stone in a stream, or a spatula moving food around in a frying pan? One more time. So it's either a poker into burning coals, a paintbrush, or a spatula. Amy.
It's a spatula in food.
Okay.
I hear that.
Eddie?
No, that right there is a paintbrush on a stone right by the river. I can hear the river raging.
All right, Lunchbox?
When I heard it first, I thought it was onions cooking on the stove, so I'm going with the frying pan and the spatula.
Well, I'll first tell you, it is not a poker rearranging burning coals. So you're all still in it. It is a spatula moving around in a frying pan. There you go. Thank you. And for your win, you win nothing except pride.
Being your friend.
Well, no, that's what you won in a different game on the show. Yeah. All right, we're in some tough recession-like times right now, so We're very thankful for our sponsors. They get to keep us on the air. So for free, they don't even know we do this. And now we do an extra commercial for our sponsors. Here you go.
And now an extra commercial for still being our sponsor.
We're just happy you're here. Basically, if we could sing the Golden Girls song to all of our sponsors right now, we would, because they're keeping us on the air. I did see, too, Amy, where they're asking for stimulus money for broadcasters in the next one. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know that.
We'll take a little bit of that. Okay, so today I'll talk about my Sleep Number bed. Ooh, do you still have yours, Amy, or is it just me?
Yeah, no, we still do.
Oh. And any thoughts that you want to say in the free commercial?
Well, I love that it's adjustable to my husband's side
because
he likes to sleep.
He likes it hard.
On a more firm bed than I do. Yeah. So he's a 60. I'm a 40, but I think both me and my husband are firmer than you, Bobby.
Oh, that's what we're going to do? Roast me during a commercial?
Well, aren't you a 30? Well, there's no shame
about,
in that
let's
game.
Let's not talk about how firm I like my mattress. I'm a 30. That's fine. Boo-boo's like a 30. The sleep IQ, it tracks how well you sleep, your personal insights, your Sleep Number setting. My Sleep Number setting is a 30. I do love it. It's basically if you have two people sleeping in the bed, there's a different firmness and softness for either one of you. I don't even know if softness is a word, but that's what it is. Are you going to say something else about it? Did you wave your hand at me?
No, I think I was scratching my head, okay.
The Sleep Number 360 smart bed senses your movements and adjusts to keep you comfortable through the night. Anyway, we love it. I love it. I have one forever. Check it out. Sleepnumber.com/bones. Thank you, Raymond. You hit me out.
That was an extra commercial for still being our sponsor.
That's right, and we'll bill you after all Corona's over. We'll get it back somehow.
No.
Just kidding. Dr. Oz, so what do you do all day? Do you just take calls and like talk people off ledges or what?
Well, there's three parts to what I'm doing these days. I got to help patients who are having issues, or the hospital deal with manpower issues or equipment issues. So I'm continually trying to connect people who have resources to people who don't. In the course of those discussions, you get to see up close exactly where the problems are. And by keeping my finger on the pulse of the system, I try to identify shortages. Like we have a big ventilator problem right now. I'm hopeful that we're going to get through the hump, which will probably be Thursday. But, you know, you got to make phone calls and asking favors and make sure the guy on the left knows what the guy on the right's doing. And in a time like this, you think someone's got that covered. They don't. You have battlefield commissions where you literally are going to war and say, okay, I'm just going to promote myself to go figure out this problem. And a lot of people are doing this. A lot of leaders have arisen who just decided they could fix a problem better than anyone else because no one else was doing it. And then they went out and made opportunities happen. So whether they're hospitals putting tents outside the ER to provide flexibility or doctors using ventilators and jury-rigging them so they can take care of two patients at once. I mean, there's lots of fascinating stories that will come out of this that we'll tell years from now. But all that matters is you're gluing together the system. So that's a big part of what I do. I go on television in part to make sure that the public understands what the real issues are. I've been very frustrated that there's a fair amount, and it's not done on purpose, but inadvertently people are panicked by what they hear. Sometimes it's just presented in a way that's hard to understand, and it's already difficult enough. And if you confuse people and they think they can't understand it, they get even more scared. And that's not the point. The point is to realize that together we can make it happen. And you and I have always talked about the fact that there are downtimes in all of our lives, and we're defined by how we react in those moments. And this is a generation-defining experience for everyone who's witnessing this. So how are we going to deal with it? How are we going to give purpose to our lives so we have hope? And at the same time, deal with the realities of that, you know, the horrible loss of life is happening. And if you get all that together, then you can make sense out of it. And that way you can keep getting up every morning and doing what you need to do.
Well, I'm glad you're on because, like, I have some real basic questions that I think you can answer in a real basic way, but you have a ton of knowledge when you answer them. For example, today even, if someone's starting to feel a little sick, before they run off to go, hey, I have coronavirus, what should they do?
Well, if you're getting a cough or a fever, or you feel really tired, and you don't have shortness of breath, just stay at home. Call your doctor, let them know, but they're not going to want you to get out of the house, infect a bunch of people, and if you're wrong and you don't have COVID-19, wherever you're going, there will be people with COVID-19. So you might get infected just by going and getting checked. And there's no point to getting checked because we know what's going to happen. You're going to stay at home and take care of yourself, sleep, try to eat the best you can. And most people, the vast majority, will be through this virus and do great. Now, half the people have no symptoms. I mean, literally, no symptoms. So it's very difficult for you to know that you're infectious and getting over this virus, and therefore you may spread it to others. So unfortunately, it's not even so much that you're having symptoms. Any symptom, whether it's this or not, could be this. So you basically have everybody thinking they've got COVID-19 15 times over the last month, and that little ache and pain probably wasn't it, and you may not have had any ache and pain and had it. So just to get people comfort around this, at some point we will all get it, or we'll get the vaccine. And most people aren't going to have a big issue. The folks who do have major problems, we generally know who they are. There's some exceptions. Young people can get really sick. They can go to the hospital. They can have, you know, challenges to their life, but very rarely do we lose them compared to the older population.
Well, I'm working at home right now, Dr. Oz, as I know you are too. When will this stop? When do I get to go back out into the real world?
Well, my estimate that New York, which is the vanguard, because we're having the worst problem, but we're also ahead of most of the country because we're a very international city. So it hit us early and hard. We'll be seeing our peak this week, I believe. This is my personal projection based on patient flow in the hospitals and the like. Next week, we'll be here at the same place because it takes a while for it to sort of get past the crisis patients that are still in the ICU, tying up beds, because they're alive and they're desperately clinging to life. But as the week after that comes, so let's say the third week of April, we'll start to see a decline, and then we'll start seeing ourselves skiing downhill for a change with less patients every week. Therefore, we have enough beds, enough ventilators, et cetera. The rest of the country is 7 to 10 days behind us. And most of the country was smarter to shut down earlier in the course of their problems. They won't have it nearly as bad as we have it. And for that reason, it won't take them as long to get over it. Then the bigger question is, when you go back to normal, I think June. May will be an experiment where less urban areas will start to get freed up. We'll start to learn how to do social distancing when we're going to work. We'll get better at containment. So when someone gets sick and they've been in contact with somebody, and contact means more than 10 minutes, 6 feet away from them. That's what contact means. So if they've been in contact with people, all those people get rounded up and get quarantined. As much of a hassle as it is, if you're in a small office and you're all sitting together, you're all going to get quarantined. So the goal is don't be next to people. So work apart from each other as much as you can. That way you don't all go down at once. And by June, we'll have learned this. We'll have enough testing that we'll start to get back to a little bit more normalcy. But I got to tell Bobby, I don't think the world goes back to normal till we have a vaccine, because next winter it'll be back. Older folks are going to have to stay distant from their younger relatives and everybody else for that time period because they can't afford to get ill. And most of us aren't going to ever be shaking hands again, and we certainly won't be hugging the way we used to, certainly until this virus is eradicated.
Now that I can sign up for. I've never been a big handshaker myself. So, all right, let me ask you this. If I'm going to the grocery store once a week or twice a week or whatever I'm doing, what precautions do I need to take when I'm going to the grocery store?
I would personally think about gloves. Are you going to put them on as you walk in, take them out and off as you walk out, and don't touch the tips of those fingers. Pull it off without having the tips of your fingers touching everything else that you're wearing. That way, just toss the gloves and you're done. I would wear a cloth facial covering. High quality cotton is pretty fine cotton. Is a nice little tool. It's about a half what a mask would do, what a surgical mask would do. But it's better than nothing, but not great. And that you can take off and wash whenever you want to. You know, washing your hands, washing your dishes, and washing your clothes all works equally effectively, killing the virus. It pierces the virus, but it also surrounds it and carries it away. Other than that, when you get the food home, well, whether from the grocery store or takeout, try to leave the bags outside. You don't need those. That's where many of the germs will be. And the containers themselves, over the course of a day or half a day, even 12 hours, all the virus will die. So you don't have to worry about them that much.
On your show tomorrow, you're talking about the best way with laundry during coronavirus. Just give me a little something about that.
The key to a lot of these basic day-to-day activities is to hack them so you touch the least traffic part of the space. So the places people get sick is the elevator to the laundromat, right? Because that's a common place. Everyone's crowded. Everyone's breathing the same air. When you speak, if you say the word health at the end, you're spitting little bits of droplets of fluid in the air, creating a cloud that has virus in it. And that virus will travel into your nose and infect you. A latrine, same thing. The dirtiest places are the places no one cleans. So it's a door going into the latrine, not the toilet seat. Because someone cleans the toilet seat. No one cleans the actual handle to the door or the knobs on the sink. So those have to be handled with a paper towel or something that allows you pull your sleeve over your hands. That your fingers shouldn't touch those areas if at all avoidable. And the laundromat may be the safest place in that darn setup. But within the laundromat, there's some like the coin changer, if you go into a public space, you know, all that, the cash actually has germs on it because someone's touching their fingers to it and handing it to you. It takes about 4 hours for those germs to die. So copper coin, 4 hours, germs. So you don't want to handle money, and if at all possible. So using a card or a credit or some token system that you don't have to touch physically, and a laundromat makes sense. But the clothes inside the laundromat, those are fine. You know, all that place that gets cleaned and it gets hot and has soap on it, that you don't worry about that.
All right, tomorrow's show, Dr. Oz talking about the best way to wash your laundry during coronavirus. Check your local listings. Go to DrOz.com. Doctor is spelled out. We always love talking the common sense with you, Dr. Oz, because you explain it better than anyone I know.
So I want to applaud you for all you're doing, for keeping folks calm and giving them some joy during these difficult times. God bless you.
Well, I appreciate you, Dr. Oz. Talk to you soon.
Take care, my friend. Bye-bye.
Coming from the Bass Pro Shops and Cabela Studio on Music Row, we are the Bobby Bone Show.
That's right.
Amy, your daughter wants a pig?
Yeah, for her birthday. So her birthday is later in the month, like April 24th, and she wants a pig.
Okay, and how?
So I don't.
What are you thinking when she says, "I want a pig"?
Well, I've wanted a pig for years, so I thought this is maybe my chance. This is a great time. We can get a pig, but my husband totally disagrees. He does not think we need to add a pig to the mix. Life is crazy enough right now, and bringing a pig will just make it that much more stressful. As to where I'm like, this is the perfect time to bring a new animal in because we're all home all the time and the animal can acclimate and we can get used to things. And then we'll know how to better care for him when we're back to normal. Like he'll already be, or he or she or whoever it is will be part of the family.
Hey, Mike D, will you Google pros and cons of a pet pig?
Okay.
Because I'm assuming it's a potbelly pig that you're looking
yes.
for.
Yes. Okay. Yes. And so I have been to pig farms back in the day on the show. We did a silent film festival and I did mine on, like, I gave birth to a pig. Like I fell in love with pigs at that moment. What I learned was there was these cute little adorable teacup piglets that were in my video, but their moms were pretty big. So you didn't know which ones were going to grow to be what size. So my idea is that I already get a pig that's grown. That way there's no surprises as to how big it's going to get. And then it's already kind of maybe domesticated. Is there a pig rescue situation for people that wanted a pig, but then they realize, don't really want a pig, and we could rescue it from them?
Are you asking because you're going to give your pig back to it if you go,
No. I really, what I need to do is just spend the next few weeks really convincing my husband that we can do this and we could get it for her for birthday. And to me, it would be awesome. I know when I was doing the research years ago that they are super smart. You can train them and they could be like a family pet and that they're actually really good inside your house.
Mike D, have you found some?
Well, what Amy's saying, the pro is that they are easy to train and they're very intelligent.
Okay. And the con?
Well, there's a bunch of cons that if you have a dog, they may not get along with him.
Okay.
And then also that you don't know how big they're going to get.
Okay.
And then they may have problems with younger kids.
Well, you don't have younger kids.
Okay. No, my kids are older. If we get an already grown one, we don't worry about the size. They're smart and easy to train. And then the only problem is we do have a dog, but she gets along with everybody.
Oh, boy. Is there anything else over there?
And then they also get bored easily, so they may get into something or, like, try to escape or something.
I say you need to wait on the pig until after Corona and everybody's out of the house.
Oh, my gosh.
That's what I say. Eddie, what do you think?
I have a great idea. Like, look, these are weird times, man, and not to sound really weird, but with, like, the grocery stores you don't want to go, this could be a solution later down the road. Like, you run out of food, you have a pig.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh. We can't. Well, actually, my kids, I was about to say, we can't eat our animal, but my kids, the orphanage they grew up at in Haiti, they had this pet goat, and it was the cutest thing, and they ate it one Easter. They just decided they wanted goat for Easter. And my kids had zero problem with it because that's how they saw animals and they ate the animals. So even to this day, like I went back to visit once and the goat was missing and I was heartbroken over it. And nobody there, it didn't faze them at all. And my daughter can still talk about it, no problem. She's like, yeah, of course, we ate the goat. We wanted the goat. So I don't think she'd have an issue if we ate the pig.
Where do you lean on getting the pig right now?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm leaning in. I'm 99% there. My husband is at about zero. That's the problem.
Okay, but where do you think you are as a household? Do you think she'll get the pig for her birthday or no?
Man, if I work if I had to bet, we're not getting it for the birthday, but that doesn't mean we're not getting it.
Okay.
I would bet that maybe at the birthday we give her a like a coupon for a pig. And we try to figure out more details. And if she shows responsibility, then she can work towards a pig. Like, I think I could get him to commit to that one day we'll get a pig.
Get her a gerbil and work her way up. That's the goal. Where you get gerbil. you work it. Okay. Update us in a couple weeks.
Okay.
All right.
I will.
Have you been watching anything new?
Not new. Well, I mean, I was watching Ozark season 3, but that, I mean, that's new. It just came out, a couple weeks ago? And we're finished with it now. We saw the season finale, and it was amazing. Nobody that I know is really watching it, and I don't understand because it's so good.
There's a lot of stuff out there right now.
I know, but that's one thing. I mean, I felt like we were waiting forever for season 3 to come out. Maybe that was the problem, is there was too much time between season 1 and then season 2. And then when this ended, I wasn't prepared for it. First of all, at the finale, when it ended, I said, oh my gosh, out loud, and then went into kind of a little bit of depression realizing that was the last episode, because now I need to know what's going to happen and I'm probably going to have to wait a year and a half for season 4.
So you would recommend season 3 of Ozark?
Yeah.
I just never got into season 2. I guess I can get back in, but I watched a few and then kind of petered out a little bit.
Peter back in.
Hey, I've heard that before. Hey, also, you know what I started? Because we like to have a show that we watch before we turn on The Office. We watch The Office every night. But we started watching Curb Your Enthusiasm, which I've oddly never started, because by the time I would start to think that's funny, I think it was 5 or 6 seasons into it, and I was like, yeah, I'm just never going to get into it. But we started watching the first season of Curb Your Enthusiasm. We're on like episode 5. Mike, you ever watch that?
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
How many? There are a lot of seasons?
Yeah.
They're only 30-minute episodes, so if you find a good 30-minute show at this point in life, because you're pretty okay before bed. But everybody's a lot younger, and they're using cordless phones. And at one point, they're talking about their car phone. And it's like, man, I don't know what year season 1 was of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Well, they're on season 10 now.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, we've started to do that before we go. Hey, Ray, what do you and your girl watch at night now? Are you still watching like Above Deck or whatever it's called?
Below Deck. No, it's in the off season. We just started throwback shows. So she's really into The Housewives. So we started watching Real Housewives Potomac, which all these women, it's a lot of NFL wives. They're all right there along. It's Maryland, I believe they're in the state. But yeah, it's very interesting. Never saw it. It's probably been on for 10 years. Really, that's what we've been binging.
Are there any Housewives franchises that didn't make it, Amy, that they thought this would be a good one? They launched it for a couple seasons and then...
Oh, I feel like Potomac. Is that still going? I tried to watch that one and I couldn't. I think there's been...
Did Dallas ever have one?
Yeah, they did, but I don't know if it's still on. I could never get into it. But yes, Dallas did. My favorite, I mean, I just stick to the, and I'm so far behind. I think once I became a mom, that went out the window. Because my husband doesn't watch those with me, so it's really hard to squeeze those in.
Yeah. Did he watch Tiger King?
Shout out Ray. No, I watched that while he was gone. So when they were on their trip, so he missed that. He doesn't know anything about it.
Well, here's your...
He hasn't listened to us.
Here's your Tiger King story of the day.
Okay.
Here's your Tiger... Ray, do that. Do the big voice, Raymundo.
Here's your Tiger King story of the day.
Thank you. Joe Exotic, who's the main focus of Netflix's Tiger King, allegedly once faked cancer. The more we hear about this dude, we already knew he's a bad, shady dude, right? But the more we hear, the more you're like, in real life, you hope he doesn't get out and doesn't get to be famous and rich. Do you feel that way, Amy?
Yeah.
Tiger King's Joe Exotic is serving 22 years in prison. Now, there's an accusation that Joe Exotic faked cancer for a period of time. Long before the Netflix show, Robert Moore hosted a podcast called Joe Exotic Tiger King, covering many of the same things that the new docuseries does. As revealed via Twitter, Joe Exotic once told people he was battling prostate and bone marrow cancer. This was accompanied by a photo of Joe Exotic with a badly scabbed face and oxygen tube in the hospital bed, which he said came from Joe himself. I'm looking at the picture here. It's Joe Exotic in a hospital bed with tubes up his nose. According to Moore, the motive behind this was to make money, even going so far as to raise funds from his fans on Facebook. In reality, he never had cancer, but had actually been suffering from a prostate infection, dehydration, and a herpes outbreak.
Oh.
You know, it just seems the more we learn about Joe, you root that Joe doesn't get out of jail and get to enjoy the fruits of the Netflix labor, right?
Right. I just don't think he's the only person that should be in jail, maybe.
I can be down with thinking about that. Hey, did that new episode ever come out?
It hasn't yet, no.
Okay. All right, all right. Eddie was talking about one of his neighbors having a really interesting allergy remedy because I suffer so much from allergies. The pollen yesterday just kicking me right in the nads. It's Caitlin, it hurts her too. She has no nads, so I can't kick her there. But like the pollen is so bad, my eyes, I get a headache. So what does your neighbor say he does?
Yeah, so I was talking just about allergies and how bad they are for my kid. And I was telling him that my son's eyes get really swollen like you're talking about. So he said, yeah, man, that happens to me all the time. And I just splash Coca-Cola on it and it goes away. He says it burns for a little bit, but then it just, the eye swelling goes down. And I was like, okay.
Hey, Mike, Google Coca-Cola on eyes for allergies. Now, it seems like, just thinking about it for a second, because let me not judge. It seems like that carbonation maybe would help a bit. And I think about if you poured that onto a thing of pollen, like it would go tss, right?
Yeah, like you do that on like a car battery sometime to kill the acid, but your eyeballs?
Mm. Well, Mike D's looking it up over there in the information center.
I don't see anything credible about Nothing. It. There's a random blog about it.
It's just Eddie's buddy, Eddie's buddy's blog.
He's the one that wrote the blog, I guess.
And he's doing that?
Yeah, well, he said he's done it before. He's anyone doing it then? He said, this is what I've always done, and it's killed the swelling. So you try it out, and like, I don't know about all that.
Yeah. Amy, what do you have over there? Are you looking at something?
Yeah, my husband was texting me, asking me if we can hear him drop weights in the garage.
Oh. I thought you looked something up for this segment. I didn't know you were sexting your husband about weightlifting during this.
Whoa, that's not sexting. He said, am I being too loud? And I said, what are you doing? And he said, lifting weights.
Why is that so funny?
But that's what he's doing.
Because I'm thinking, think the heaviest dumbbell we have out there is 40 pounds.
That's heavy though.
So
yeah.
Okay, but I replied, I was like, no, besides, what are you lifting out there? And he said, I'm doing the slam ball. You know, like one of those balls that's a big, like 30 pounds of sand, and you slam it on the ground and pick it up and slam it.
I do know it, yeah.
So y'all can't hear him doing that?
Mm-mm. No, can you hear it?
Okay. No, that's why I'm giving him the green light to keep working his muscles.
Amy's such a hater to her husband on this show sometimes. And now it's time for Amy's Morning Corny.
The Morning Corny.
Why did the policeman go to the baseball game?
Why did the policeman go to the baseball game?
Because he heard that someone had stolen a base.
That was the Morning Corny.
That was
terrible.
Yeah,
that was just dumb.
That was dumb. Like, we waited all that time for that one. Now, if you're listening to the podcast, what? You get to hear that. The radio show's not going to get that one. So we should do another one.
Why? Why? Amy, what was wrong bad. With that?
Yeah, that was not. Whoa. It wasn't even corny. It was like
yesterday's was the sneakers one. Y'all thought I thought that one's better than what kind of shoes do all spies wear? Sneakers.
Yeah, that one's okay.
Still laughing at that.
Yeah.
One.
Yeah, I spent all night telling it to all my friends. Okay, let's try another one.
Okay.
But we waited 20 minutes for the worst joke in the history of the Morning Corny.
20 minutes.
That's what it felt like. All right, Eddie, you ready? Or Raymond, are you ready over there?
The Morning Corny.
What's the difference between a poorly dressed man on a tricycle and a well-dressed man on a bicycle?
What's the difference between a poorly dressed man on a tricycle and a well-dressed man on a bicycle?
A tire.
Okay, that's very funny.
That was the Morning Corny.
I mean, a heck of a setup, I tell you. For me to repeat that back, I had to go into the memory box.
I was impressed. I thought maybe you would say, what'd you say again? Mm-mm. Or you would just throw your hands there and be like, forget it. They don't need me to repeat it. What's the answer?
I think we'll take a second now and get to the video game minute, one of my favorite segments we do on this radio show. Mm. So Nielsen reports a 45% spike in U.S. video game usage, which is not a shocker because I could sit on that video game all day. I never played video games. We were playing What Are the Odds yesterday, Caitlin and I, because she does not like the beard, and I like to play video games. So what are the odds were if she won, I would shave off my beard, and if I won, I got unlimited video games for a week, and neither one of us won. So, but and she doesn't like the beard, like, brushing up against her face, like, cutting her. Do you like your husband's, huh, Amy?
Yeah, I love it. But the longer you have it, I think the softer it gets.
Mine's pretty
so
long.
So yours is still new?
No, it's not. Look at it. It's thick.
So it's... Oh. But I mean, the longer, I think either you just get used to it or build up the tough skin.
Yeah.
Or something about his has gotten softer. Because I remember when he first got his, I hated it. And now I love it.
Well, sometimes just to annoy her, because I do this. You know how a guy that has a long beard will take his hand and go down his chin, and so I'll just do this, and I'll do it even longer than my beard is, just to be funny. Like, I have this really long beard, and I'm just running my hand down it. She's like, you don't have a beard that long. Stop doing that. So anyway, that is the video game minute. Go.
On the Bobby Bones Show now.
Dustin Lynch.
What's up, dude?
Yo.
How are you?
Dude, that was a pretty cool bumper right there.
Yeah, we had him say your name because you're special.
I feel special. Thank you.
Hey, I saw that today your Mama's House video is coming out, and I was looking at a trailer of a little clip, and it's you sitting at a bar covered in flames. And my question is, are those real flames?
They are, man. And that was one of the last shots we did. For whatever reason, there was a flare-up, and it kind of got really close to my face, and I took off running out the door of the bar we were in. We were burning down, and I guess the director sensed my shock or whatever. He's like, and that's a wrap. So thank God it was like that was the end of the day, that last shot was. But it was pretty intense. Having real fire, and the camera crew was all in these ventilator masks. I think the lungs took an L that day.
So is this the most expensive video you've ever shot then?
It is, yeah. This is one of those videos where we sent the budget into my label to see if they would approve it, and there was a lot of back and forth. But it was all worth it. Just having, you know, there's so much that goes into having fire and that many people working in a workplace around that much fire. The bill adds up quick.
Dustin Lynch is on with us. 10 a.m. today, Central. You can check out his new video. Hey, how you doing on toilet paper right now?
You know what? We found some this morning. So we've learned over the weeks here, it's like, get up early, it's worth it. And we found the last couple packs the last time we've done. So I'm in good shape. And I usually don't have that issue, but having my girlfriend Kelly in the house, it's a big issue now, man. Toilet paper is a hot commodity for sure.
Do you go to a bathroom far away if you're going to do the bathroom that needs the toilet paper, or do you just do it in the one near the bedroom?
I've got the luxury of having a bathroom far away in my house. So I've got my designated Instagram room. We'll call it that, right?
I'm not too good because I'll go upstairs sometimes. Because I have a PlayStation upstairs, and I'll just go upstairs. And if I got to hit number two, because my girlfriend's quarantining with me too, I'll just be like, you know, I've gradually brought her in, and we've been together 4 weeks now, and I don't feel like she needs to walk into a bathroom that I've just, for lack of a better word, demolished, you know?
No, I'm exactly the same way. I've got stage fright when it comes to that still, even though we've been together for a while. There's total stage fright. In her place in California, there's not really anywhere to get away from. So I'm always looking for an excuse to go down the street to grab groceries or something.
How has that been for you two guys quarantining together? Because if the relationship wasn't there, it's got to be getting pretty close now, right?
Yes, it's it was there. It was just we never had the opportunity to spend an extended time together, and it's kind of forced us into seeing what we would be like if we really did live full time together. And man, it's been kind of cool. Like, we actually get along. There hasn't at least been a need for space yet, and we've been forced to learn how to cook for each other, and that's been fun. I've been enjoying just seeing how she's kind of taken on this new chapter, and you know, I guess our our appetites, our stomachs are the weight of our hearts sometimes. So it's nice coming home to a great cooked meal.
You working on songs during the downtime?
Yeah, I literally just got off, I guess the app's called Zoom, one of those video apps that we just started using, and I just finished the song. So I've written a couple, I guess, virtually like that. And for the foreseeable future, it's kind of looks like what we're going to have to do. I know a few of my buddies that are getting studios put into their houses because it doesn't look like we'll be able to get any high-quality recording done for a while, you know, as a group like we're used to. So, yeah, just kind of taking it day by day. And I think it's really going to change the way we look at workflow, you know, in the writing community because I'm enjoying it. I can – now on a co-write, I can put – everybody on mute and be able to think a little bit, where in some co-writes people like to sing and constantly have music going, but I can kind of mute and edit who I want to hear when I want to hear them. So I find it to help me out a little bit.
Well, my favorite part is everybody's not going to want to hug all the time. I felt like we were hugging too many people anyway, not even just writes. Like walking down the sidewalk, you see somebody you haven't seen in a week and they want to hug. All that's over now. So here's the one good thing about Corona. Less handshaking and less hugging people we don't normally want to hug. But I digress. Okay, listen.
Man, it you realize how bad of a habit it is. I've approached a couple of people, neighbors being those folks, and just out of habit, gone in for a handshake and get some pretty quick disgusted looks. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. It's just, you know, it's just one of those things we're used to doing. But I'm growing accustomed to not touching. I'm okay with that.
10 o'clock Central today, the video for Mama's House, Real Flames. Also, Dustin Stay Country Tour with Travis Denning. There are new dates: Mount Pleasant, Michigan, July 5th, Indigo, California, October 23rd, which is Stagecoach, Modesto, California, on the 24th, and Florence, Arizona, on October 31st. So good to talk to you, my friend. Glad everything is going your way, and you're getting the most out of your quarantine and your downtime.
Hey, thank you, and you too. I'm having a blast following along the challenges you and Caitlin are doing. It is.
I'm sorry you have to see that.
It's pretty awesome. Dude, the dog treat, the cake, the jump in the pool, all that stuff is just amazing.
Not one of my finer moments.
I'm enjoying.
Well, Dustin, good to talk to you, bud. Talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, Mike.
See you, bud.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Here's Amy's pile of stories.
A Michael Jackson crystal-studded glove just got $104,000 at an auction. You know, the white glove that he would wear?
Yeah, I was going to ask if it was the glove.
Yeah, the glove. He wore it many times on stage and in videos while he performed all of his songs, including Billie Jean, which is probably where you know it from. Yeah.
What, the glove or him? I know him from a lot of things. Most recently, not his music, but I know him from a lot of things.
The glove. So do you know the reason for one glove, Bobby?
Let me think about this. The reason for one glove. Which glove was it? I'm going to say it was his right hand.
But he only ever wore one glove. Mm-hmm, so, and he has told people why.
I'm going to say that his one glove was for... Will I get this?
I don't know. I'm trying to think of what's in your head right now.
Well, I'm not going to say it. Everything I was going to say, I decide. Like, Amy, I went through
so.
Like 8 different things.
I know.
And I was like,
I
didn't say it. In
I
my
felt
mind,
that.
Yeah, I was like, should I make a joke? Yeah. I'm going to say for health reasons.
Well, Michael Jackson explained during his Bad tour that wearing one glove was cool. Wearing two just seemed so ordinary. Oh.
Well, much better than what I was going to say. Okay, what else?
So a man spent almost 18 months perfecting his own version of KFC's secret fried chicken recipe. And obviously a lot of people are KFC-less right now. So he thought he would share the results with the world. And it's been liked thousands of times online, and I have the recipe, and I can put it up at bobbybones.com in case you want to get adventurous and make some KFC fried chicken this weekend.
I didn't know that recipe was really a secret. I thought maybe it was early in time, and that's just kind of the thing you say now. I didn't realize it was still secret.
Oh, no. I think it's pretty secret.
Don't they put the ingredients on everything? You just don't put how much?
No, not at a restaurant.
You don't? Okay.
No. When you order something, you don't have to put it out there.
Isn't like Coke's secret too? Or Dr. Pepper or one of those too? It's like a secret too they don't tell? I don't know. I just thought everybody knew. But okay, so if I go to bobbybones.com, I can see it and maybe Caitlin will cook that fried chicken?
Yeah, she could whip some up for you.
All right.
What fast food item would you want the secret recipe to?
Oh, I just want to go to the fast food place. I ain't trying to cook it.
Okay.
I'm good. Yeah, no, none. I don't want any of them. Mike, oh, what I else want, is secret?
Well, they can't. They can put out the ingredients, but they can't say the amount of, that's in it. So that's really the key to it.
Did you see another story over there about that?
It's just about Coca-Cola. They release like what's inside of it, but not how much they use of each thing.
So there's this kind of a secret too.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like 0.2 medium phosphorylate.
So that's when they make like a
2 cups of blagolanosmanot.
Yeah. Well, if anybody happens to know how Chick-fil-A makes their sauce, you can go ahead and send me that one because that is something I would love to recreate. I've tried before, but I know I'm not doing it right.
All right, what else you got?
Well, speaking of food, I have the top things that people are having delivered right now, which food deliveries are huge. Uber Eats has said that their orders have gone up 30% since mid-March, which is great because that means people are still ordering out and supporting businesses. But what people want the most, French fries. And other popular foods are pad thai, burritos, and crab rangoon.
I've ordered sushi twice, and I ordered ribs a couple nights ago. I just do better when I have the food already in my house because then I know how much to eat and I don't buy food that's bad for me. But when I get on these apps and I start to see things and I give myself options, I ate ribs, mashed potatoes. I had some green beans with some, I don't know, some random meat mixed in. I had some Brussels sprouts. And Brussels sprouts are not good unless you make them good. Like, people love Brussels sprouts because they love them with like the chocolate and the meat and the tomato.
Maybe some bacon.
All of that. So I had some Brussels sprouts that were great. So I got to get off the apps. Like, good, I'm glad to help out local businesses, but I need to chill out a little bit. I need to help my local stomach, my belly. There you go.
All right, Amy, that's my pile.
That was Amy's pile of stories.
I think we now go over to Eddie and get in the Spanish word of the day. Eddie not only works on this show as the head of videos and editing, he also is his kid's homeschooling Spanish teacher. Right, Eddie?
That's correct, Bones.
And now that's where the segment came from. Here we go.
Good morning, clase.
Good morning.
The word of the day is luna. Do you guys know what that is, Bones?
Moon?
Oh, we have a winner. Nice job. Now let me use that in a sentence. I spend most every night underneath the light of a neon luna.
Scuba Steve gave you your only laugh back there. Did you hear him? Did you hear him in the background?
Most of the time he does that.
Yeah, yeah. I spend most every night beneath the light of a neon luna.
Yeah.
I wanted to catch up with Mike D for a second, who is our head writer on the show, writes a lot of the games, finds a lot of the news stories that we talk about. On yesterday's show, I said, hey, Mike, what's up with you and your girlfriend? Because she chose not to come up here and quarantine with you because she was nervous. Why was she nervous again?
About traveling, about being, if she was sick or anything, giving it to somebody else.
So she was just going to stay home. And you haven't seen her in how long?
About a month and a half.
How old is she?
She's 26.
You're?
28.
And so you guys just FaceTime every day?
Yeah, every day we FaceTime for dinner.
And I'm like, okay, Mike, if she wants to come up here now and quarantine with you, she can't because she's not sick, right?
No.
And would you admit it got a little awkward on yesterday's show?
Oh, yeah, I got a little bit.
Why do you think the awkwardness happened?
Just because it was that of like, it'd be make or break if she didn't come at this point.
Yeah.
So that got a little awkward.
So after the show yesterday, what did you do?
I went and I talked to her. We got on FaceTime and just talked about it. I was like, if you wanted to come now and I were to go pick you up, would you come?
So he offered to drive from Nashville after the show on Friday, 12 hours to Austin to pick her up. Are you going to spend the night or just drive right back?
Spend the night and drive our
back. Spend the night and then drive 12 hours back the next day. Now, before we know any more of the story, Amy, what do you think happened?
I think that she accepted the offer and she's going to come.
Ooh. Okay. Lunchbox?
Oh, by Mike's tone, he does not sound very, like, happy or confident, so I feel like he got rejected again.
And what if he gets rejected, Lunchbox? What do you think that means about the relationship?
It means it's not going to last. Like, it's over. Like, there's no future in the relationship. Like, Mike can deny it to himself, but deep down he knows that if she said no, that they're really not meant for each other and it's going nowhere.
Eddie, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm going to stick with what I first said. I think that she's told him again, listen, what I said before, I'm not coming.
Oh, boy. Gosh. I don't even know if I want to hear it. I don't know. Mike,
were you nervous having this conversation with her?
Yeah, it took me a bit to get to it.
Oh, he had to beat around the bush. Oh, he couldn't go straight to it. That's scary.
Because you were nervous about her answer, too, because if she said no.
Yeah.
What would you have thought if she said no? Or if she, leading up to it, if she says no in your mind, what's going to happen?
I mean, I would have been fine writing it out, but I would have been a little sad.
Well, you hit her up on FaceTime,
mm-hmm.
and then how do you present it to her?
I was like, well, I've been thinking about it. We've been going a month and a half without seeing each other. It's probably going to be longer. And then I'm like, well, if I came to get you now, what would you say?
Like you drove down.
If I drove down now.
Hey, Raymundo, can I get a drum roll, please?
Oh, boy.
Because this is a big moment here on the Bobby Bones Show. Mike D has been with the show since an intern. He worked his way all the way up. He's now my right-hand guy. He's at my house with me right now. He's the only one I let in the house. I care about him so much. I also know the answer to this. And Mike D, what did she say back?
She said, come pick me up.
Oh!
Wow!
Yeah!
Wow!
I knew it!
Mike.
So you leave Friday after the show?
Friday after the show, I'm going to drive 12 and a half hours there, stay the night, then come right back the next day.
And then she's just going to be here indefinitely?
Yeah.
Nice. Amy, your thoughts on that?
Happy to hear that. I had hope that that was the answer. I was a little nervous about it, but I'm very excited for you because, yeah, it's no fun that you have to be alone. I'm sure she wants to be with you, and this is proof. And I just am happy for your relationship.
There you go. There you go, Mike.
Hey. Wow.
All right. We'll check back with you after the weekend. Another thing, Mike D brought this to me, was the dark web is selling blood and saliva from coronavirus victims.
Yeah.
Why?
Because they think by selling it to people that it's a cure. They're pitching it off as a cure.
Like the antibodies.
Yeah. So they're saying it's blood from somebody who's recovered and saliva, that if you take that, you'll be immune to it. So they're selling it on the dark web.
Do you know how much?
Whoa.
It's $1,000.
For how much?
For like a little like vial of blood or like a thing of saliva.
And how much did you buy?
I only bought none.
And so, can it be verified?
No, it's a scam, but people are falling for it.
And people are buying it.
Yeah.
Shouldn't there just be an app to get on the dark web at this point?
Nah, it's a bad place. You don't want easy access
to
it.
Well, there's an app to get on Tinder, not the best of places. Craigslist, not the best of places. You just think there would be an easier way to get on the dark web. I've never been. I'm not going to go. But Mike D tells me all the gossip, Amy.
Yeah.
And right now you can get your $1,000 for coronavirus. Here's what would happen to me. I would get it. I'd be so excited. And I'd bring it home and be like, I got it. And then I'd walk and I would trip and it would bust everywhere. And then I wouldn't get to use it. That's what would happen to me. And then I'm on the bonehead story of the day.
It's time for the good news.
With Amy.
Tell me something good.
So there's this Brooklyn restaurant called Gertie, and they have turned their restaurant into a part-time soup kitchen for laid-off restaurant employees. And so their staff still gets to work serving these people through a restaurant relief program, and they're able to make 300 meals a day, wow. And it's just a win-win for everyone. And then if there's anything left over, they feed it to local hospital workers.
Wow.
So, shout out. Yeah.
That's like a win-win-win-win-win.
I know. So many wins happening in the story. I love it so much.
There you go. That's what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Coming from the Bass Pro Shops and Cabela Studio on Music Row, The Bobby Bones Show.
All right. Hope you all have a good day today. Hope everybody goes out and is safe and healthy and lives a good life. And if you have some time, check out the show podcast. It's up for you. Morgan, what are some things they can hear back today?
Eddie and his wife had their first fight of quarantine.
That is true. You can hear what happened and why they fought. All right, what else?
Dr. Oz was on the show talking about when the world may go back to normal and some tips to stay healthy.
Common sense stuff, too. Like I asked him about the grocery store. Talked about clothes. So, yeah, that what Dr. Oz is up in today's show. And what else?
You got asked to sing on a new show.
Yeah, I did. And I got a call a few minutes ago saying now maybe they have to do a song change.
Oh.
An update. Okay.
I know. And I just got sent a list of other... I just
is Lion King in there?
Well, here's the thing. I got the list because I think the song that I was going to ask to do, it's going to go to somebody way, way, way famous because they've kind of jumped in and taken it. You can hear what song I thought I was going to do. But now it's like, I can do Coco, Remember Me.
That's a good one.
But
Bones.
I can't sing that one.
Oh.
They got Mary Poppin. Chum, chum, chum. I don't know. I got to look at these.
Ooh, that could be good. Chim 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 chimini.
Tarzan.
Chim, chim,
you'll be in my heart. I do Mulan Reflection, the Christina Aguilera song, and just go for it.
Oh. No.
Oh, you can hear all about that up in the podcast too. All right, that's it. Morgan, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, that's it. Amy, what's going on?
Man, I mean, today will just be school again, but I think we are gonna, we cooked out last night, which was super awesome. So I think we're gonna do another grill out again where we just cook everything outside on the grill and then lay a big blanket down and have a picnic just to get the kids. I mean, they're going outside for PE and track practice and stuff, but I don't know. They saw it as a really fun activity, so we're gonna do it again tonight.
Nice.
What about you?
I got a couple of these Zoom meetings about different projects. This is every meeting now. Just turn on your computer and everybody's head pops up in a box. But what's happening is it's pretty efficient. I never want to go to a meeting with people again. Like after Corona, I just want to be the guy that flips his laptop open and have all these meetings just like this. You know? Because you can get it all done. It's super efficient. I have that. Normal stuff. That's all. I got nothing. That's it. I'm done. Thank you, guys. We'll see you on Thursday's show. Have a good day. Hit me up on Instagram, Mr. Bobby Bones. Bye, everybody.
Yeah.
BobbyBones.com.